Hey everybody, Simon Rentner here. Welcome to The Checkout. On today's show, we're in LA, Los Angeles, Highland Park to be specific, soaking in some of the really cool, funky orchestral sounds of soul man Adrian Young, once a law professor who transitioned to being a hip-hop DJ to now a multi-instrumentalist and composer completely obsessed with American soul music from the period between 1968 in 1973. Sounds specific enough? The artist recreates that majestic sound on his latest recording called The Midnight Hour with his co-leader, Ali Shaheed Muhammad. You might know him from A Tribe Called Quest. Right here, you're listening to one of his favorite compositions on the album. He calls Ravens, complete with breakbeats, some fuzz guitar, harp, woodwinds, and much more. It's orchestral soul jazz for the modern day on today's show. Thanks for checking in. Speaking to Adrian Young. Let's just call him for now a Renaissance man of LA. He's got his foot in many different projects, many different fields. Adrian Young, and plus a new recording with the legendary Ali Shaheed Muhammad. You might know him from Tribe Called Quest. The Midnight Hour, speaking at high noon here in Highland Park. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. It's an honor to be on the show, and welcome to my Linear Lab studio. So right now we're standing in an all analog studio that is basically reflects my golden era of sound, which is 68 to 73. Strictly analog, and I strictly stick to hardware. So there's no computers to record on. It's just tape machines, multiple tape machines, and all Class A discrete gear. And the reason why I do this is in order to produce the kind of music that I produce, these are the tools of the trade. And these are the standards that have created the best music, you know, of our lifetimes. Walking into the live room, and you'll see rare analog synthesizers to electric pianos, to a vintage Ludwig jazz kit, to the grand piano, to the B3 Hammond organ, to the vibraphone, to the marimba, to the carillons, to the wall of guitars, to the Mellotron, which is essentially the first sampler. Without getting too much into what it is, this is like Strawberry Fields Beatles stuff, you know. This is my life. So in order for me to record the kind of music I record, I need to have this facility. And it's been 20 years in the making to get to this point.
You started out first, though, as an entertainment lawyer. Is that correct?
Well, basically, I started as a DJ. You know, I started as a DJ, and then I started to buy records in order to sample records. And then I realized that the records I was sampling were inspiring me more than the derivative music that I was making, you know, because I was looking to sample and make hip-hop stuff. I started realizing that in order to really become who I wanted to be as an artist, I had to not only learn how to play instruments, but learn how to record in the way they recorded during the golden era. So I just took all this time to really get a firm grasp over who I wanted to be. And it's something I call unlocking the artist within. All of us have something within, but it's up to you to really kind of go after it. So in doing that, I also feel that it's best to have an education. So I went to law school, did that whole thing. I was an entertainment law professor. I never was practicing. I was just a law professor. And at the same time, I was doing film, from Black Dynamite score to editing the Black Dynamite film to starting my journey as just a full-time musician. So that's how we got here. Something that really represents who I am as an artist. Around 99, I said I wanted to make a fake soundtrack called Venice Dawn, and I wanted to play every instrument on it. And I made a goal. This is while I was in law school. I said, I want to make a goal where I could make my first album, play every single instrument on it, and act as if it was some old Italian score from the late 60s, because I was super into Morricone at the time and just European soundtracks. So I made an album called Venice Dawn, and there's a song on there called 1969 Oregon. That has like theremins and all that stuff. That's the real start of my journey, the real start of my sound. And that was released in 2000. We'll be right back.
Young on the theremin, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Which is, if you can even find a theremin, holler at us.
Funny.
Adrian Young joins us here on the Checkout from WBGO. We're in his studio. Linear Labs is what he calls it. It also has a salon. I'm definitely thinking about getting my hair cut here, including a vinyl library, one of the best vinyl libraries in, I guess I understand, also the vinyl capital of the planet in Highland Park.
Yeah, yeah. So the store is actually touted as one of the best record stores in the world because of the curation, and it's a very boutique record store. So it's an expansion and duplication of my own record collection.
I can see that because you had Sun Ra's Jazz and Silhouette recording that's actually kind of hard to find, too.
Yeah.
That's like front and center. I'm like, okay, I understand this curation right here.
It's something where it's literally like I love old Madonna records, but you're not going to find much Madonna in here. You know, I don't carry a lot of the records that you see in regular record stores. So, for example, the Black Jazz label, I have a whole bunch of Black Jazz, like Henry Franklin and all that stuff, all the way to Catalyst, to a bunch of Gil Scott stuff, like stuff I really dig, the stuff I look for when I travel the world to find records, all the way into like crazy European softcore porn soundtracks from back in the day. You know what I'm saying? To Tribe Records, to Gangstar Records. It's the stuff that I love. So when people walk into here, they're walking into something that is bespoke. It's a different kind of record store. So if we like the same kind of music, you are absolutely in love. If you don't like prog rock, psychedelic King Crimson stuff like I do, like then you got to go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those type of places.
At the show I saw you at the Lodge. LA Lodge Room, you were playing the Fender Rhodes, and you were in front of a French horn, a harp, a string section, which is extremely unusual, obviously, and also trying to tap into this sign, this zeitgeist of what'd you say, 1968 to 1973?
Exactly, yeah. So my golden era of recording and sound is from 68 to 73. That period speaks to me for many reasons. It was a pivotal moment in our time culturally because, you know, there's just so much civil unrest going on. And when there's a lot of civil unrest going on, that is something that usually galvanizes artists in creating something new and special to respond to whatever madness is happening. What's going on in 68? Martin Luther King, you know, Malcolm X, they're dead. The civil rights movement is in full effect. In the 60s, it's the first decade where soul musicians are taking on the notion of, quote, black power, but they're really saying it from the perspective of we are equal. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really study the etiology of black American music from slavery days, it's the first kind of protest that blacks collectively had, and it was through music, and it was initially apathetically. You know, they would kind of say stuff, but you wouldn't really know what's going on. If you go back to slavery, and then you push forward to around 30s or 40s in Harlem Renaissance, you have cats like Charlie Parker speaking through their horns, and they're speaking against this notion of inequality through their horns. That's a whole nother subject. But then you get into the 50s when soul music is starting to become popular and starting to become somewhat pop, you know? And this is the time, this is just going into my law stuff, there was a landmark case called Plessy versus Ferguson that said separate but equal is not actually separate but equal. So it's the first time that our legal system is acknowledging the fact that blacks were not being treated equal. And then you have this whole movement with soul, where we're saying, okay, I'm black and I'm proud, all this stuff. And it's like everybody is fighting just for equality. And you could hear how that's reflected in the music. You know what I'm saying? So 68 to 73 is a pivotal time where you really hear a lot of that energy reflected in the sound or reflected in the composition. And also, it's one of those times where Black artists are actually finally getting crossover success without compromising. Something to me that epitomizes that movement is just, James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. You know what I'm saying? That you could just go on that. And then also listen to the covers, like the jazz covers, like Lou Donaldson did a dope cover of it. Approach music from the vantage point of hip hop, which sampled the break, and the breaks that they were sampling, a lot of them were from that time frame. So my thing is looking through the vantage point that hip hop provided us to go back to those breaks, to go into those studios back then, expand the composition, and update the sonic palette in order to reflect the way that we like to listen to music today. So that's like my whole perspective, and that's why you would see an orchestra on stage with myself and Ali Shaheed. I'm the God, I want God. Both sides of me are evenly
attracted. And besides the breaks, I will also add that you are also very interested in just the overall orchestral ornamentation of like deep soul, deep groove, deep jazz, like the highest level production.
When you compose a song, you record it, make it sound fat and dope. Watch what happens when you actually orchestrate for like a 30-piece orchestra. Then put that on top of your track. Watch what happens to the value of your product once you do something crazy like that. That's why an orchestra is so important to what I do.
Well, let's listen to a little bit more of it from The Midnight Hour. Why don't we go with Questions, the lead single with CeeLo that was then excerpted for Kendrick Lamar, of all people. Just heard Questions, another beautiful song by Adrian Young, speaking to him in Highland Park in his studio. Linear Lab, is that what it's called?
Linear Labs, yeah, Linear Lab Studio. So this is This is my home. This is where I do everything. I don't even record in any other studios outside of Ali Shaheed's studio.
Your band, The Midnight Hour, Adrian Young, features Ali Shaheed Muhammad from Tribe Called Quest, arguably one of the members of the most important hip-hop band of all time, represent New York. He's a DJ, though, right? So he's playing bass for you. Being in his presence and making music, is that is equally as important as the music itself?
Let me just clarify. So the Midnight Hour is a group that is me and Ali Shaheed Muhammad. He's not in my group. We make the group, you know. We have players that play with us. So the album is something where we're essentially playing all the instruments with the exception of the orchestra and a few instruments here and there. So we're playing 90% of the album. So I'm glad that you brought up the notion of, well, what does Ali do? Because he's a DJ, right? Everybody knows him as a DJ for Tribe. And he did some production for Tribe, but everybody really knows him as a DJ. But what people don't know is that he's a multifaceted instrumentalist. He is insane on drums. He's insane on keys, bass, all that stuff. You just saw him play bass. But if you look at the liner notes on The Midnight Hour, you could see that he's actually playing tenor. He's playing guitar, you know what I'm saying? Like we both play the same amount of instruments.
And how many instruments do you play on this record?
I don't know. I mean, like, if you look in the studio, every instrument in this studio we play. You know what I'm saying? So we play whatever's necessary. And this goes back to the notion of my first album that I dropped in 2000, where I said I wanted to play it. I wanted to create an album where I played every instrument on it. So, you know, we're in 2018 now. Been doing it for a while.
Even like the more exotic woodwind instruments like oboe and bassoon, can you play that as well?
I can show you my oboe over here, and I can show you my bass clarinet over there. I can show you my clarinet right there. I can show you my bass flute, my regular flute, my alto sax, my sopranino sax, like all that stuff. This is all the stuff that we're playing on the album, you know, but it's just about us getting into the studio and just doing things over and over until they sound good. That's been our journey.
You're certainly a black beacon in that respect, so let's listen to that from The Midnight Hour. Adrian Young playing all the parts. Sounds like film noir jazz to me. Like you are definitely trying to create a vibe with a little bit of a subversive edge. Well, you strike me as an individual too that likes to be in control of every aspect. Absolutely. And you don't hear a lot of like improvisation in your music.
Well, the thing is, I'm a composer. You know, so my thing is there is improvisation in it, but it's more composed. I love the intelligence of composition. I love writing for a full orchestra. I love to match my instruments and make melodies within the melodies. Like, I love telling stories through sound. So when it's a bunch of improv, it's dope stuff, but that's not really what my music is. That's not really my message. My message is about when you hear the music, you're hearing something extremely calculated. You know, even if you're hearing like some old Duke Ellington, you know, he's a perfect example where he would write symphonies and he would write things as though they're improv for his players, but they were actually written. You know what I'm saying? It's just having that kind of control.
Let's hear the control on Gate 54, another instrumental. I'm in a movie in LA with Adrian Young. So be honest now, is there any instrument you're scared of playing on your, you know, analog tape?
Scared as, what do you mean? Like, yeah, as, well, I mean,
like daunting, like, oh, that's like a bassoon. Bassoons are hard to play, you know what I'm saying?
One instrument that I still cannot fully play is trumpet, and it pisses me off. Like, there's something about trumpet. There's something about my homage, I just cannot get it. But I play so many instruments, that's the one that just pisses me off, you know? So that's the one I'm like, you know what, man, maybe I should just take lessons, because I never taken any lessons, you know? But I want to really learn how to do trumpet, so.
So if you could play like any trumpeter, then I imagine you would play like a flugelhorn player.
You know, honestly, what I would really love to do, to be honest with you, man, is just like be like that French horn dude. You know, I love the presence it takes up in the track, and I like lower registering instruments as well. There's just something that's heavy about it, you know. So that's the one I would really get into.
With our soul and roots music. Let's listen to some French horn. Take us to a French horn moment on your recording.
Let's go to Redneff in B minor.
Redneff in B minor, Adrian Young from The Midnight Hour, reminding me of a little bit of Freddie Hubbard there. Red Clay.
Sure, absolutely. The whole album is a big kind of Idris Muhammad meets Freddie Hubbard vibe to it, you know, because that 60 to 73 time, like, that's when they were doing that, you know. So I mean, you know, when Tribe sampled Red Clay for Hey Sucka Nigga, like, I remember when I first heard that beat, I was like, yo, that bass is filthy, right? I have like 5 or 6 renditions of Red Clay, and I just love that perspective of playing bass. So you could hear that sentiment throughout the score, or throughout the album.
What I think is so inspiring to me, speaking to somebody like you, is you view this, you know, as a continuum, seamlessly and effortlessly and gracefully, you know, from Duke Ellington to Ma Rainey to Curtis Mayfield to the present day and Tribe Called Quest.
Well, the notion is trying to create something with what I define as just Black excellence, and all I'm doing is continuing a journey that was started by my forefathers. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to pay respect to what they're doing, and you know, give the people something brand new, because with a lot of modern music, I feel that the standards have dropped substantially. You know, especially since Black music, for the first time, has crossed over in the way that it has. In doing that, whenever you're crossing over, you gotta drop them standards. So I want to go back to those standards from yesterday and continue making music from that perspective, regardless of who likes it or not. That's my journey.
Cool. Adrian Young, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Redneff in B minor from The Midnight Hour, Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad. Go to our website at checkoutjazz.org to watch NPR's Tiny Desk performance featuring The Midnight Hour. See our photos with Adrian Young in his Linear Lab studio, salon, and vintage record store in Highland Park. And you can see more photos if you follow us on social media. I'm on Instagram at Simon Rettner, at Checkout Jazz on Twitter, The Checkout from WBGO on Facebook. Definitely make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher while you're there. Give us a review. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner from Highland Park, Los Angeles. Thanks for checking us out.